We're talking to Bob Malone, who has paid us a visit once again to bring us a whole bunch of new songs for Homegrown Music and a couple of covers. And, Bob, you travel all over the country. You're originally from New Jersey, right?
That's right, yes.
And now you're based in sunny California.
Los Angeles, California.
Right. And you were told earlier when we were doing a recording session, you said you were touring Down Under.
Oh, yeah. I played, I just got back. I'm still jet lagged. I played Australia and New Zealand, 3 weeks in Australia and a week in New Zealand. Played the Christchurch International Jazz and Blues Festival in New Zealand. Bonnie Raitt was on the bill. It was really great.
Oh, cool.
And I did a whole bunch of some theaters and some festivals and some clubs.
How do audiences there react to your songs?
Oh, they really dig it. Yeah, it was a great audience. And they get my jokes, which was kind of a relief. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if they would or not. And they were great, great crowds to play to.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun.
Tell us about your musical background. You're obviously classically trained on the piano. And who would you consider some of your principal influences?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, I started as a classical player and got corrupted by rock and roll when I was about 15. And that was, you know, Billy Joel and Elton John and the Beatles and that sort of thing. I loved all that. And then later on, I discovered, this is my early 20s. I mean, I was a teenager in the 80s in the Northeast, and I can't say I heard a whole lot of blues music at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I discovered the whole New Orleans R&B thing through Dr. John and Professor Longhair.
Right,
Randy Newman, I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Love all these people still.
Right.
So all that, I learned about all that in college, you know, and then I just kind of tried to mix it all together and come up with something that was and I like a lot of other things too. I love jazz and I still love classical music and I have pretty eclectic tastes. I never realized how eclectic until I got an iPod and loaded everything in there and put it on shuffle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, Fats Waller would be followed by Snoop Dogg, you know? And then I realized, wow, man, I am all over the place. This radio station would, if this was a radio station, it would definitely not work.
Right, right.
Yeah, so.
Now, I know you've kind of been really drawn to the piano styles of New Orleans.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dr. John and Professor Longhair and people like that.
Booker.
Yeah, when did that really hit you?
You know, I really discovered it about the time I moved to California, ironically enough, which I was like 24 years old, you know, and I heard that stuff, really heard it for the first time on this radio station I used to listen to there. And I just fell in love with it. I really took to it and started studying it and doing it and absorbing it. And it seemed like the most natural thing in the world to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going down, the first time I ever went down there was 1996, 95 or 96. I went down there and I had got just this club gig, you know, and I wanted to go down there and just do a bar gig and see if I could pass for a local, you know, see how well I was doing at the whole thing. And,
right.
And I did my set and this guy comes up to me, goes, "Cause y'all must be from here, because people from out of town cannot play like that." I said, "All right, I must be doing something right."
Yeah, that must have been a high compliment there.
It was great to it was great to hear. So I play there a lot now, and I spent a little time living there. And it's still my favorite kind of music.
Right. Tell us about some of the new songs you're working on here. These are a bunch of songs that you've just completed.
Yeah, there was two we did tonight that I literally just finished about 3 a.m. last night.
Oh.
In fact, I was still tweaking them about 4 hours ago, right before we left. So, I'm just working on a new CD. We're trying out some slightly different stuff
Because I know you did that last time around. You recorded a bunch of songs for Homegrown Music, and then they turned up on
turned up on my CD.
Your current CD.
Yeah, I find that it's usually about 2 years between CDs, and it takes all of those 2 years to come up with the 10 songs or 12 songs that end up on a record.
Right.
So, usually I do like 10 of my own and maybe 2 by other people.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the pattern mostly.
Right. Now, when you do covers in performance, what kind of songs are you drawn to? I know you did a Dylan song for us for Homegrown Music, and that's definitely a guitar kind of song.
Yeah, I mean, I like to do anything that I can take far away from what the original version is, because otherwise, why bother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I love doing stuff like that sounds nothing like me, you know? And Dylan songs, they're great. So, I mean, you can do anything with them. I have two versions of that particular song, Tangled Up in Blue. I have like an up-tempo horn band version that I do.
Oh, wow.
And I have, you know, like a funk backbeat version. And I have and then I have that ballad version that we recorded tonight. And it all works, you know. I like songs that, you know, I often pick things that sound like the kind of songs I write. Maybe not the Dylan song, but you know, some of the other stuff I've done,
mm-hmm.
stuff that'll kind of seamlessly fit in. It has to lyrically really be something that relates, you know, that makes sense for me to do.
Right. It has that sort of whimsical or slightly sardonic
that thing that I do. Right. Exactly. So if it has that and I can mess around with it and do some stuff with it that's different than the original, that's usually my... criteria. Usually I'll just hear something and I'm like, I gotta do that song. A lot of them are by people I know. You know, I know a lot of talented people. I'm lucky to meet a lot of talented songwriters, and the one I pick is always the one they say, yeah, nothing ever happened with this song.
<You know>?
So that's the one I'm drawn to.
That's the one you're drawn to. Now, do you have any particular ambitious projects you'd like to do or attempting to do? Now, you told me about a project you did with the performance of Rhapsody in Blue with the Bobs.
Oh, yeah, we did. That actually got finished. We mm-hmm.
And released on CD.
Yeah, released Rhapsody in Bob is the name of the CD. Yeah, I know. And we did a version of Rhapsody in Blue, the Gershwin piece, and I played the piano part. With
an a cappella quartet.
And the Bobs, they sang the orchestra part. It was harder on them than it was on me.
Yeah.
Oh, it was pretty hard. I mean, it was hard, but we put it together. We were doing this concert film. They were doing a Bob's concert film. This was in 2003, and they at Mechanics Hall in Worcester, Mass. Like a big, like a 2,000-seater, maybe a 3,000-seater. Anyway, they filled it up with people and shot this concert film, and so we thought, well, this will be a good place to debut our version of Rhapsody in Blue, which we were kind of tossing around the idea of doing. So I got together with Amy Engelhart, you know, and we kind of hashed out a basic way we were going to do it. And then they went off and did the actual vocal arrangement, which was reducing this full orchestra stuff down to four voices. And I sat down to learn, see if I could actually play. Now that I'd agreed to it, I wasn't sure if I could even play it.
Right.
So I labored over learning how to play it, and I added some of my own touches and kind of made it a little funky. And we got together, and they all live in different places. Like, we all live in different cities. Mm-hmm. Amy and I live in Los Angeles, but everybody else is all over the place. So the five of us got together 4 days before this concert was going to be filmed in Worcester. And we had 4 days to get it together. And the first day was just, we realized we were way in over our, well, not maybe in over our heads, but we realized that 4 days really wasn't going to be enough. So we ended up doing like, I don't know, 8-12 hours a day
mm-hmm.
working on this thing. And we never had gotten all the way through it without stopping until the night of the show.
Mm.
And we pulled it off, sounded good. And then we've since toured it around to theaters and fine arts centers and places like that. So we really have it down now, and we recording it helped.
Yeah.
So that was the story.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it was kind of a real shock the first day we did it. A lot of it's chromatic too, so it's very instrumental type music. It's hard to sing. It's very almost unsingable.
Who does the clarinet part at the beginning?
Actually, Amy does it. She goes, she doesn't do the slide up. I do the slide up.
Oh,
I do this whole improvised piano thing mm-hmm. at the top. I do a run up, and then she goes, wah, 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 wah. You know,
right.
It sounds better than that. But just as a, So she sings it. It's really great the way they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the CD.
All right. Well,
you can work that in.
Looking forward to hear it. Any other interesting projects you might have in mind?
I think I might be shooting a concert video this year in summertime, like a real, you know, multi-camera shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll rent a fog machine.
Oh, wow.
No, I don't know. But we're going to do – that's supposedly going to happen. And I'm working on a new CD and going to get all of that out by the end of the year. And I think it'll be good.
Well, great. We look forward to it. Well, thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Look forward to hearing more of your music.
Yeah, thanks.